Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
This week, we're going to be talking about our love for the Great British Baking Show, why it's cozy, chaotic, and secretly savage. Hi, I'm Michael Thomas, star baker in my own mind and soggy bottom expert.
And I'm Sierra, Hollywood handshake hopeful, disaster in a technical, and I am emotional about biscuits.
And this is Really, the podcast that knows baking is mostly all about the butter.
All about that butter. Now, I know, Thomas, that we normally will start with how our week's been, but we might just want to get into this topic. It's so good. So, my question for you is, if you had to walk into the bake-off tent tomorrow, what would your signature bake be and why?
Oh, probably my sourdough cinnamon rolls.
Ooh.
Yeah, make them every Christmas. Probably should make them more often, but that's too much effort. And I'll make that effort at Christmas.
Is that with your own starter?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Potato flake starter.
How old is your starter?
Oh. Well, actually, I was going to say 6 years old, but I think this one is actually about 3 years old because I started this one when I moved into this house.
Okay.
Because my old one might have spilled in the back of my car, and my car smelled like a brewery for a week.
Oh.
Yeah, it was great.
Don't so, get pulled you know, over.
It could have been worse. It could have been worse. But yeah, I think so. I think so. I think they'd be, I'd have to really amp it up though, because, you know, them bakes don't last too long. And the sourdough, it does. Sourdough's not quick. What about you?
I think, now, for the record, and you know this, but I'm not much of a baker, but
well,
I can throw down a lovely baked salmon. Does that count?
Well, it's baked.
It's in the oven.
I mean, you know.
You got to season it right.
I mean, true. I think that counts. Do you do anything, like, do you put a pastry on it?
No.
Is there butter?
Yes.
Counts.
Yes. Counts.
That's all.
That's it. That's
yeah.
it. But ultimately, I think one of my favorite things to bake, if I do that now that I'm thinking of it, is a breakfast casserole bake with an aioli sauce.
I can tear me up a breakfast casserole.
Absolutely. You made me one.
I love it. I did.
It was great.
I did. I love a breakfast casserole.
So do you have, thinking about the different bakes thing with the show, since we know that the Great British Baking Show breaks down each episode, has like, this is dessert week, biscuit week, pastry week, cake week. Do you have a favorite week?
Oh, probably. Well, I don't know if I have a favorite. I love cake week and I love bread week. Those are my two favorites, which those are my two favorite things to bake.
So it's personal.
Yeah. But I love seeing what they turn out, whether it's really bad or really good. I mean, hello, we've seen some amazing. Do you remember? I don't remember what season it is, but it was an older guy. He was like Silver Fox looking. His aim was also Paul, but he made that big, huge bread lion.
Yes. That was so cool.
I mean,
Hollywood handshake.
Yes. Artistry. And then I don't remember if it was a cake week or dessert week, but that one when Nadia made the, I think it was cake, peacock.
Yes. That was beautiful. Yeah.
I mean, I just, I love cake week. I love bread week. I will never be able to make breads or cakes that look like that because I just don't have that patience. But yeah, I love both of those. Those are usually my favorites, and thank God they usually come on early in the season. What about you?
I think mine is definitely going to be, well, they've done like a pie week, I think, before in some of the things where they have to do like a sweet pie and a savory pie. Mm-hmm. I love a hot pie.
I love a savory bake.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And their pies are so like, their pies are intense. Our pies over here just aren't that, you know, like they'll do those hand-raised pies. Do you remember those where they put them on like a dowel, like a big, huge, round chunk of wood? And then they don't even graze them, half of them. And they're like, I don't know why I can't get this dough off of this. And I'm like, well, hon, need to grease your dowel. You need to grease your dowel.
That's what I say.
I mean, yeah, pie week. Pie week's good. And sometimes when they decorate them things, woo, they get going.
Absolutely. Hey, what's it called when they do like the reveal? Where they make like this chocolate dome and then they put like a hot sauce, not a hot sauce, but a hot in temperature.
Is that usually dessert week?
Maybe so. Those are really
I think
cool.
I've seen it on dessert week. I think I've seen it on cake week.
And it reveals a
as
cake.
As well.
Maybe in the middle.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. Well, sometimes.
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 Hot or not.
Yeah, sometimes those shells are not so great. Listen, Sierra, would you be a Paul Hollywood favorite, or would you be one of his victims?
Oh gosh, I mean, I would just hope that I'd be a favorite and be too cute to boot off the show.
Too cute to boot. That's the name of your memoir.
Okay.
All right, moving into our main topics about the Great British Baking Show, or Bake Off. We may colloquially refer to it as Bake Off. Let's talk a little bit why we're obsessed with it, Sierra. Why do you think, what is it about that comfort factor that comes with the Great British Baking Show?
Well, I think no matter what, no matter where you are, if you hear the intro, the music, it's just, you're like, what?
Bake it's off? My ringtone on my phone. Are they
here? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I hate phone calls. So if I hear that, I'm like, okay.
I could take
maybe
it.
Maybe I can do this.
Or you can leave it and let it play, you know?
Exactly.
But I think it's just that instant, like, this feels good. It's calming. It gives me a calming effect. I have been, and I'm not afraid and ashamed to say this, but I have been in a wind up of a panic attack, and I've been like, I just need to throw on Great British Baking Show and sit on my couch for a minute. And then 45 minutes later, I can take the day. I can handle it. I can tackle anything.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's just soothing. It's like, they're so nice to each other. They're so polite.
That's how it
they're
should
so
be.
Like, there's no cutthroat drama. I mean, there is some drama sometimes. I mean, lest we forget that one season where that chick stole, I don't remember his name, but she stole his custard. You remember that?
I do remember that.
Uh-huh.
You can't steal custard.
You can't. I mean, she didn't do it on purpose, of course, but yeah, she stole his custard. That was drama filled.
Speaking of drama, how about when one, the cake falls off the table, and two, when they realize that the oven wasn't on the entire time.
Listen, when they realize the oven wasn't on, I'm just like, oh my gosh, why did you do that? How did you let that happen? Or my favorite, when like they're baking, and you know, obviously, now that we've watched 93 seasons of this, we're baking experts.
Totally.
So, you know, I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't stir that sugar in water. You're going to seize your caramel.
Yeah. Fold it in. That's too much matcha.
Yeah. Well, any matcha is too much matcha.
I like a matcha.
Grass.
Grass.
Why do you think we find it so soothing as, you know, us Americans?
I think because we're used to Hell's Kitchen getting in there and yelling.
For real.
The Gordon high Ramsay. Pace. Jeez.
Gordon Ramsay is, he a little intense. He's intense.
I do like him though. I do like him too.
And I've heard in some interviews that he's not like that. I've heard that's all for TV.
Sure. Yeah.
That he's like actually a really nice guy.
I would hope.
I mean, he is British after all.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I'm sure he's lovely.
I would hope so. Speaking of that, Jamie Oliver, if you watch his like kind of newer things, which I get a lot of inspiration for my cooking, like from him, he's fantastic. He takes you to like his home, which is basically this giant plantation. This barn. Place I want to, huh?
It's like a big old barn.
It's a big old barn, farm, all this wonderful things. It's pleasant, cozy. Music. Take me there. So we just got to go to Europe. That's all.
I've always said, I think we're missing it. I think we're supposed to be there.
Let's go. Cross the
There's pond. Also something very soothing about just listening with that little, you know, their little chirpy little background music they have when they're baking. And then there's like the sound.
Hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes, no editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you, and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com.
To the mixers and then the narrator.
Yeah.
That voice is so soothing. Mary Berry, her voice is so soothing.
So
I love me some Mary Berry. Noel Fielding. He's got a good voiceover voice.
He does. He's calming.
Which brings us to all the characters. All these, well, they're not characters, they're real people, but they're definitely caricatures, I feel like. Okay. So here's one. It's a little divisive. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Mary Berry or Prue Leith?
Oh gosh. That is okay. My answer's two-parter. Number one, OG Mary Berry. She started it all with Paul, of course.
I love her.
But Prue, did you know she got a Michelin? She got Michelin stars.
Oh yeah, she's extremely like decorated.
So, all the above.
Okay. I mean, I love them both for very different reasons. You know, sure. Prue, she's a little naughty. She can be a little dirty.
She's got cheeky.
Them innuendos. That's a good way to put it. Cheeky.
She likes the alcohol added.
She sure does. They both do. I wonder if Hollywood, like, I wonder if he, when he's casting his co-host, I wonder if he's like, I need somebody that likes to drink. Yeah, but he didn't sound at all like that. But, you know, like.
Cue the alcohol.
I need a lush. I don't know. But they're both amazing. Yeah, Prue is, she's legit, man. Like, she is and I love it how they, listeners, for those of you all that don't know this, they call Mary Berry and Prue cookery authors.
Oh.
They write cookery books.
Cookery.
I just love how that sounds. It's just, I'm like, that sounds posh. And also, if you get on, I think it might be the Roku channel or YouTube, either one. they have like old episodes of random series that Mary Berry has done and Prue Leith has done. One of them's like Mary Berry's Old Manors, and she goes in these huge old castles and
that's cool.
Yeah, like huge old castles and estates in the English British countryside, and then bakes in like the kitchens that are there, and they're huge, enormous stone fireplaces and big, so cool and cozy. And her voice, it's just like a mug of hot chocolate.
I love, is that, did you show me that show one time when like Christmas and she went out and went bird hunting too?
Yes. Yes. That's okay. The one. Yeah.
She's, and then my they girl.
Cooked, they cooked the bird.
Then they cooked the bird. The upland. The bird. Upland, yes. Game.
Yes. It was, it was very posh. Very, very posh.
Posh with a cookery.
In their old Land Rovers, traversing the British countryside, shooting birds. I love it. What about, now I love Sandy. Sorry, I'm going back. I'm going to the co-host now.
Okay, co-host.
I love Sandy and I love Noel. Now, Mel and Sue are my OGs. Like
they were fun.
I love them. Hardcore. I think they're, to me, they were funnier than Noel and Sandy, even though they're just funny in a different way. Anyway, Noel and Sandy. Well, Noel's been on there for a while now. Sandy retired. I get it. She wanted to be at home.
One day we will.
And then they brought on Matt.
Yeah.
They sure did. How do we feel about him?
It's so hard to, for me. Yeah. This is,
I'm sure. Well, I'll say it like this. I'm sure he's a lovely person.
Yeah. I'm sure he's a lovely person. He had some bits. He had some moments. It just was such a different, you go to Sandy and then to Matt and it was like, oh, who are you? That's different.
Yeah.
But I think it worked for times.
Yeah.
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 And then.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't sometimes. Right.
Yeah. It's just, ooh. I don't know. He wasn't bad. He just definitely wasn't my favorite. Like, no. Noel and Sandy had such a good banter. Now, what do we think of the newest one? She's only been on there one season. She's on this new season. Allison Hammond. I love her.
Obsessed. Obsessed. Yeah. I think she is extremely talented. She's gorgeous. She's funny.
Yeah.
She could just be, she could just stand there and she's wonderful. So, yes.
She hosts. Love it. Oh, what's it called? I guess it's their version of the Today Show. Or something like that, called This Morning. She won
an award.
Yes, she did recently. I think I saw that as well. And she's hilarious, dude. Like, as much as she cracks up and does silly things on Bake Off, it is even more amplified on That Morning Show, which that early in the morning, it would be for me too. I would be delirious.
Gets but, the people going.
She's just funny. She's a good host. I thoroughly enjoy her. I think if I have to pick, though, if I have to pick all of them, Sandy's my fave.
Okay, I see you.
Sandy's my gal. Sandy Totsvig.
That's a name. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Totsvig.
Yep. I'm sure I totally butchered that. Sandy, if you're out there listening, because I'm sure you're totally listening to a little American podcast in Appalachia. If I ruined that name, I apologize. I love you, and I think you're fabulous. Now, there are definite like archetypes that we see in the show. You know, like the person that's a nervous wreck. They're crying over their custard.
Oh, yes.
You know, like,
yeah.
There's so many. I can't even name them all. I can't pinpoint one of them. My favorite, though. Nadia. Oh my gosh. I freaking love her. Gorgeous. Number one. Number two,
yes,
every show, just about every show, yeah, she was like, I'm going home.
I'm going home. This is the one.
Yeah, this is it. And she'll start crying. And I'm like, sis, did you see what them other people brought out?
You're fine.
You are A-okay, huh? She ends up winning the whole season. Y'all, of this course. Season's like 10 years old. So if you haven't watched it, that's on you.
You've had time.
I'm not spoiling anything. Yeah. So, you know, hey. But yeah, she ends up winning the whole season. And I'm like, because you're amazing. And I hope she believed that. But every time I watch that season, it never fails. Every time I watch that season and I get to that part where she wins and then she does her little victory speech, lose it.
Yeah.
Put me in the floor on a tarp. Like it, paper towels. I mean, it's absolutely just, yeah. I can't.
It's emotional and it's it pleasant. Is. And then they cue that music that just adds on even more.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the sweet, like, heartwarming music. Mm, yes. Help me here. Who was the one, I'm going to call him like he was really chill. He never got flustered. Genius. I think he was on their last season. If it wasn't last season, it was like season before. He had the hugely bushy eyebrows.
Got you. Jürgen.
Yes.
Jürgen. Loved him.
Amazing.
Loved him. He never got too flustered. And when he was just like, oh, I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time. Like it's, but it is what it is. Like calm, cool, collective.
Yeah.
Bangers and too.
The only thing I could think about the whole time, what if one of them eyebrows gets in that food?
Yeah, his eyebrows could have flown away. They were like they little were, baby crows on his head.
They were bushy. I mean, they were woolly worms on that face. Yes. Now, they were fairly separate, you know. Yeah. They were brothers or cousins. It, you know, they, it wasn't like a unibrow, but it was definite.
God, he was great.
Haywireness. And then, of course, you have the lovable little grandparents, grandmamas, we'll say, meemaws, like we'd say here, Flo and Maggie.
Oh, that grandmoms, grandparents that were on the show.
Oh, yeah, yes. Sorry.
Yes.
Yes. Like they're just the old little meemaws that are on the show and they have the best accents. I'm not even going to try. and sometimes just the wonkiest British teeth. And I mean, it is just, I love them. And I hate it when they're like, you need to design a 3-story eclair and bake it in 20 minutes. I'm like,
hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes. No editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you, and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com.
At Meemaw, don't know how to do that.
No.
She isn't doing that.
She needs the whole day.
What she's doing, you know, is good.
Oh, yeah. No notes.
No notes. It probably don't look great, but it's good.
That's all that matters.
Also, finally, in this section, there's always one, and it's usually some feisty lady.
Okay.
That gives off that Paul doesn't scare me vibe.
Okay, come.
Remember Nancy?
Yes, she didn't care.
Remember she called him the male judge?
That male judge.
Yes. the male judge. She did not care. She did not care at all. And it took her right on through. I think she probably actually did, but you know.
Sure.
But she was feisty. And then there was Sandy.
Sandy.
Do you remember Sandy? She cracked me up. She's one of my favorites. Who else? Are you remembering any?
Not off the top of my head. I probably will think of all of them once we stop, but.
I love, there's so many of them, but Nancy, I follow her on the Instagram. You should follow her. She gives like really cool, eco-friendly cleaning tips and home advice.
Okay.
I'm not saying you should follow her because you need cleaning tips. I'm just saying you're an eco-friendly person.
I do. I love.
And you love all that.
Yes.
And she can, like, she shows you how to make your own laundry detergent that doesn't hurt the environment.
So she's
one of our little chickpeas.
She knows what to do.
She does. She's amazing.
Do you remember Nelly from last year?
Remind me. Give me a
She
description
is from Slovakia, and she's blonde and really happy and joyful.
Was she out two or three episodes? Oh my God, I loved her. Yes. Yes, I remember her.
I'm showing you
for those of you all listening, sorry. Well, you're all listening because we don't have YouTube yet. But yes, Sierra just showed me a picture of her, and she was, yeah. I hated that she didn't last longer because she was just good TV.
She was. I follow her. She's incredible.
She was feisty. She was good with Paul. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, she threw you knew back. One.
I know one. I know things.
You know one.
How about the inside jokes that happen? And I will say that there's more and more that are occurring, but there's still like the staple ones. But also, I don't know if y'all out here hearing this Bake Off. It's getting tawdry. It's getting. It's getting. The innuendos are yes. coming.
And the out innuendos.
And the out innuendos.
Could you imagine though being a judge on that? Like all that sugar they eat during a day.
Yeah.
Crazy. And I realize they only take a bite or two, but when you're judging 12 people.
Yeah. I mean, you have
a bite or two. Or like, could you imagine?
No,
like
I couldn't imagine because your ratio for carbohydrates to protein, that's way right. off.
That's way off. I mean, whoa. It's and like, I wonder filming? If they get just some insulin.
Yeah. We've got insulin like, packets on to the right yep. next to the water. And do they film every day? Sheesh.
I think they film on the weekends. I have okay. maybe possibly watched a documentary about it.
Well, I'm here for it.
I'm obsessed. I'll send it to you. Okay, but yeah, I think they film maybe Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like 2 days. And then they're off for a week so they can practice. And then they come back. Yeah.
See, even I mean, just the layout of that right? show and the framework is like, hey, you've got a life and we want you to do well and feel good about what you do. So we're going to let you practice a little bit.
Thank you.
And then we'll come back together where it's convenient for everybody.
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So back to the inside less likely jokes. To
have a soggy bottom.
Yeah. Back to the inside jokes and the icons. How about that soggy bottoms?
Yeah. Every time it says that, whoever says that, it's just, I just chuckle. It's funny.
It's the best.
Because, I mean, especially during flu season.
Nobody likes a soggy bottom.
We've all had a soggy bottom at some point.
Yeah. And I think that now that I know the phrase, nobody likes a soggy bottom, I'm pretty picky when I go get a pie or something that has a crust. I check that bottom. Are you soggy?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. You bought me a magnet, a Bake Off magnet that has something about a soggy bottom on it. Elizabeth got me a badge reel, maybe, I think it was, that has something about a soggy bottom on it. I wore it for a long time. It broke. Yeah. I just, it's probably the number one thing.
Yeah.
Like it's number good. One innuendo joke that has come out of Bake Off.
For sure.
What about the Hollywood handshake?
I'm a puddle. I'm in the floor. When he throws out that hand and cues the music, everybody's jumping. I'm like, Daniel, I cry. I'm like,
I know.
Earn that. Yes.
I know.
That's better than winning the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. God. Could you imagine?
No.
That's a Michelin star.
How many Hollywood handshakes did you get during the season? You're the winner.
You're the winner.
You're the real winner. Oh,
real winner.
Another thing.
Okay.
That gets me with this. These people come on this show. This is just, it's so un-American, like this thought. They don't win money.
Nope. They don't win. They win a platter. They win a platter.
Like a cake stand.
Yeah. They win a cake stand.
Now, I mean, I'm sure it's a lovely crystal cake stand.
Yeah.
It's a cake stand.
It's a cake stand. No money.
Now, I'm sure, like, you know, later on, sure. Their endorsements and all that jazz, they get plenty.
Yeah, but they'll write a book.
They're all still in it to win it because they want the accolade. I love it.
I love it. Oh, I can't believe I forgot about this person. Remember Kim Joy?
I can't believe I forgot about her either.
Are you serious? Let me
talk
pull
about
up
a genius.
Picture. Did you? Oh, wait. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I can't believe I forgot about her.
Yes.
When I was talking about geniuses right up there with Jürgen.
Yeah. Kim Joy. Her books are amazing.
She truly is. And a lot of them are, you know, creatively awesome. But her stuff is art.
It is absolutely art. She has her own vibe. She was deaf and she didn't win, you know, but was able to just run with her own thing and has made her own little empire.
I know. I love to see how successful some of them are that come out of there.
So it's safe to say that with the Hollywood handshake, it's epic. It's a vibe. It's a dream. We'll never get it, but maybe it's a dream. But I've got to be honest with you. I've got to just lay this out here. After all these years and all these episodes, I still, to this day, do not understand Prove. And if you watch the show, there is a shade that is over something that's being baked. They'll say, your bake is underproved. Underproved or overproved. Michael Thomas, what is proved?
I'm so glad you asked. Proving is when you prove your yeast is working.
Oh, like the proof's in the pudding?
Yeah. If your yeast is foamy, then
it's proved.
It has proved that that part's working. And then if it actually makes the bread rise, then
that's a prove.
It's a prove.
Okay.
It that's further proof that it's working. And then if you underprove something, you didn't let it rise long enough. If you overprove something, you let it rise too long and the interior structure will start to kind of go bad.
This sounds
or not bad. Let's be real. It's bread. It ain't gonna be too bad. But yes.
This sounds cutthroat.
Oh. 100%. And it
this
is.
This sounds scary.
I mean, you said it, and I agree. It can get a little shady.
A little shady.
And they have those proving drawers, which I have a proving function on my oven.
Oh, nice.
And I've tried to use it. You want to talk about overproved? I have had doughs pretty much just like flop out into the oven out of the bowl because they get too warm.
Overproved.
Yeah. Of course, I've had does underprove, and that just means they're a little claggy. What's the word?
Stodgy.
What word is it they say? Stodgy. Yes.
Stodgy.
Stodgy. So yeah, that's what proving means. It just, you know, in America we say rise.
Oh.
Let your bread rise.
I feel so silly.
When your yeast activates, let your bread rise, all that jazz.
I'm gonna say prove. I like that better.
I love how it sounds. That's what I say now.
In my cookery.
Now, do you think we, not just me and you, but like the whole society, because this really got popular around the pandemic.
Yeah.
The show. Do you think we as a human race actually bake more because of this show? Or try?
Yes. I mean, I don't know a lot of humans out there, but I do think that I know I have. I've made attempts. I've cooked more, to be honest. But I think so. And I think too, like ever since like the pandemic, people are more appreciative and they're wanting to stay home more. Still the going out. But sure. I think it has caused a cultural, across all of the maybe countries, a cultural explosion of give me that baked good. Like there's just more knowledge. And yes, 100%, I think more people are trying more stuff, doing more stuff. I have a friend that has, it's called Kind Creations, and she's a baker. Like she just gets at it. And she is every weekend hustling her Kind Creations, and they're all like, it's all like no refined sugar, maybe no gluten, and they're tasty. They're tasty.
Sure, sure.
She's doing it.
Although, you know, we have to have that gluten for that bread to rise. Gluten and yeast, they're real good friends.
Bestest.
They're bestie. They're like me and you. They're like besties. They just together they achieve more.
Okay. Thank you for that. Middle school poster.
Team. Oh my gosh. All right, folks, we, as you all know, probably if you're listening to this, and we have had a great response to our little show. And I just want to read some reviews from some of our fans. 5 stars. Okay. Laugh out loud. Really? This is from Jessica Blake 217. 5 stars. Laugh out loud. Really? Story time with these two is the best. Thrilled to have them in my ears every week.
Oh, thank you, Jessica 217.
I know. A chuckle and a smile. This is from user Small Queendom. I actually know her. Very dear friend of mine, Leah, a friend of the pod. She is actually a Theater Bristol alum as well.
Hey, Leah.
5 stars. Within the first 5 minutes, I was laughing out loud. Isn't this what we all need? Friendly chats and telling tales during these stressful times. I love a good gab fest, and you two have great podcast voices, if I do say so myself. Subscribed.
Aww.
All right, Sierra, are you ready for some messages from Mom?
Oh, yes, please. Let's go.
This one's a pretty good one. This one actually might predate last week's messages from Mom. I think this one might be from, I can't tell, 2017. I think the last one was from 2018.
Okay.
I don't even remember what we were talking about. I just found it. I had screenshotted it and I found it and favorited it because I thought, hey, one day I want to share this, maybe on a podcast. Mom says, Mrs. Houchins, I do remember that is one of her teachers, one of her like grade school teachers.
Okay. Okay. Houchins.
Hopefully high school based on the content. Mom said, Mrs. Houchins said the most intelligent children come from a love affair.
Okay.
I said, well, ..
Well.
She says, well, you're intelligent. I said, did you have an affair? And she goes, no. No.
Okay. But.
No.
Did she read that back?
I don't think so. And I just sent her an emoji like a Bitmoji, that said, for those of you listening, you'll see it. You'll see it. Go to the Instagram, go to the Facebook. You'll see the exchange. Yeah, she sure did.
Roll the clip, Mona. Like,
I don't remember where this came from. I don't remember how we even got to this conversation.
Of course not.
But, you know, the most intelligent children come from a love affair. So apparently, if you're dumb, your parents were not in love.
That's a lot to unpack.
That's loaded, right? Oh, gosh. I love her. I love her.
That's a good one.
Hope y'all enjoy that, for those of you all that actually know my mother.
They're getting to.
Yeah.
So, as we've talked a lot about baking goods and all that, I think it's only appropriate to say, Tom, where are you going to really spend your money on baked goods?
Oh, Blackbird Bakery, without a doubt.
Yeah.
No, like, I don't even have to think about it. I love Blackbird Bakery. It's here in Bristol. You can find them at Blackbird Bakery Bristol, all one word, on Instagram at www.blackbirdbakerybristol.com and at Blackbird Bakery on Facebook. They are a full service bakery. They offer baked goods, coffees, Homestead Creamery ice cream, and they're on Piedmont Avenue in Bristol. And they actually have a drive through now. They've had it a couple years, right off of Commonwealth in Bristol, too, right off exit 3.
Okay.
It is lovely. And may I just suggest, their fritters are amazing.
Like an apple fritter?
Apple fritter, berry fritter. I've never had a bad fritter from there.
Touche. Okay.
I love a fritter. What about you? Where are you getting y'all baked goods?
My baked goods, I mean, I've talked about the Wildflower Bakery, but I also got a shout out, the Purple Onion in Saluda. Not only could you go there for dinner, a salad, a glass of wine, and maybe some live music, but you also need to go there for their desserts, and particularly their tiramisu. Now, I've done the research, Michael Thomas, and I know. I've done the research. There was one birthday for Daniel that I was like, we are going to have a taste testing. And so I went and got tiramisu, slices of tiramisu from this place in Asheville, this place in Hendersonville, Publix, I went all out. Like, we're going to put this to the test. And the Purple Onion, 10 out of 10, always wins. And I think it's just the way they...
What an amazing birthday present.
I know. That was a good one. I also reaped the benefits of that one, too. So... That just makes sense.
Well, yeah, that's why it's also amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Purple Onion, they are located in downtown Saluda, North Carolina. You can find them on Facebook, The Purple Onion, and Instagram, The Purple Onion Saluda.
I love a purple onion too. Just saying.
On a salad.
You know, like a red onion, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know why people call them red onions though. I've heard a lot of people ask that. But thank you.
They're purple.
They're absolutely absolutely purple. Anyway, as we wrap up, I need to ask a real hard-hitting question, Sierra.
Jeez, okay.
Which of us would last the longest in the bake-off tent?
You. You bake.
Sorry, that was kind of a self-serving lead-in. Anyway. I feel like you bake some.
Unless they had a salmon week, I'm screwed. pan dinner, I'm done.
Hey, now I've done those recently and they were tasty. All right, y'all. That's it for this week's episode. Stay sweet, stay flaky, and just like that lovely sourdough you've been working on, stay hydrated.
Let it prove. Follow us, tag us in your baking fails, the do's and the don'ts, and let us know why you get a Hollywood handshake or a soggy bottom.
Soggy bottom.
Bye.
Bye.
Really with Sierra and Michael Thomas is produced by Griff Chap Studio LLC. The views and opinions expressed by host Sierra and Michael Thomas are their own and do not reflect those of their employers. Copyright 2025, Griff Chap Studio LLC, all rights reserved.